Calvin Morrow, Amy's grandfather, and he always dressed very nice. On Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday when he preached, he always dressed very nice. But it never failed. It didn't matter if it was spring, summer, winter, or fall. Brother Gary, as soon as he hit the pulpit, he'd read his introduction, he'd read his scripture, he'd pray, and as soon as amen was over, he was taking his jacket off and he was throwing it. I usually preach with my jacket on. This morning, jacket might come off, okay, for two reasons. It's a good message God's laid on our heart, on my heart. Secondly, I'm roasting. I've got some new socks on this morning from the suit store, and they feel like pantyhose. Those dudes come up to right here, and I've rolled them down to my ankles. I'm about to burn. How in the world do you women wear them things? I'm about to die, sweating. If somebody wants to come up here and fan me while I'm preaching, it's okay, all right? All right. Over the last several weeks, I've seen many stories concerning the church. And if you go to any news source or you go to a Facebook homepage or just an internet homepage and just read the news stories, you don't have to look far before too long, especially if it's one that's extremely liberal, talks about the church, the church, the church. Just about every day I see a negative news story concerning the most loved possession of our Lord. Oh, me. Hold on a second. I need to go here for a second. Let's see. I'm going to put a little bracket around there so I don't lose my place. Listen to me. I'm going to get in trouble when I stand before Jesus one day. There's things, preacher, you're going to get in trouble. There's things that I've thought. There's things that I've said. There's things that I've done. That when I stand before a righteous God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'm going to be in trouble for it. I really am. Brother Frank, I'm probably going to get a spanking. God's going to take me to the woodshed. Can you imagine, though, the group of people who are defaming his bride? That they are knocking the church and talking bad about the church? Now listen, you can, and Amy will attest to this, Brother John, I'm telling you, she'll attest to this. Amy and I can get into a knockdown drag out. Very seldom. I don't fight. If we get into arguments, it's her fault. Really. But in 10 minutes, I'm done. I'm ready to make up. It ain't that way with Amy, okay? 2 days, 2 weeks. Women are contentious. Hey, you know, all right, starting early, amens. Can you imagine the trouble that these individuals are going to get in when they stand before? Well, hold on. If they're lost, they won't stand before the Lord. Hey, Scripture says that every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess. Listen, everybody's going to heaven. Everybody. Everybody is going to heaven. Jesus isn't going to hell to judge these people. They're going to stand before Jesus in his throne room. When they stand before a holy and a righteous God, and he says, hey, you remember that time you ran your mouth about my bride? Hey, listen, you can run your mouth about a lot of things, and the preacher's going to be quiet. You can spit in my face, and I'll wipe my face, and I'll try my best to turn around and walk away. But if you talk about my wife, it's on like Donkey Kong, I promise you. You've done crossed the line. I tell you, deacons, y'all pay attention. Listen to me. I'm not a fighting person. I have in times past. I'd go at it at a drop of a hat, and I was pretty good at it. I'm not a fighter. Scripture tells me in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that the preacher is not to be a brawler. Right? You talk bad about my wife, I'm going to knock you out. That's a good woman right there. These people are talking about the bride of Christ, his greatest and most loved and most cherished possession. We need to get on these chat rooms and say, look, you know, just warn them. Say, you need to be very careful about writing this story because the church is Christ's bride. You're going to get in trouble for this. All right, I need to go. It's almost like our culture is trying to discredit the church, scandalize preachers, and make all church members hypocrites. Every church is considered a snake-handling, tongue-speaking, and mongering, hungry deceivers of the masses. Church, our perception in the world is not good. And to be perfectly honest this morning, much of what the world thinks of the church just might be true. What could we do? Can we be proactive to create a change in our culture? I can't honestly answer that question, but I can tell you that I believe that we, this church, Chevis Oaks Baptist Church, can do something to change the perception of those in our community about this church. But can I? But can any positive, anything positive, But to make any positive change, we must remember who we are and why we're here. For the next several weeks, we're going to be looking and going through a series of sermons concerning the church. This morning, I want us to understand where the church came from and why the church exists today. Now, Amy and I were talking this past week. And just concerning all these news stories and things that we've heard on the news and things that we've heard people say, we were talking about the perception of the church. Church is not good. It's really not. And that's what got me on this sermon series. Now, before we go real deep, and I'm going to say this two or three times during this message, as you open the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi, church isn't seen. It's not there. Or is it there? It's not visible. You don't see the word church. You don't see the faculties or the facilities that we have mentioned in the Old Testament. But is it there? There's a glimmer. It's a gradual progress that's taking place all throughout the Old Testament to make us and make us where we are today. Where in the world did the church come from? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to answer that question. We can look all throughout the Old Testament and not see the church. Don't get me wrong. We can see the seed of the church, but the church of the New Testament is nowhere to be seen in the Old Testament. The church of the day is nowhere to be seen. It's concealed. You open the pages of the Old Testament, and the old girl's in there. Listen, the bride of Christ is in there. She's in there. She's concealed. She's waiting. She's just sitting back, waiting for her day, waiting for her time. She's there. She's waiting. The first glimmer of the church can be seen as our founding fathers built altars to sacrifice to the Lord, to worship God for all of His blessings. At this time, we see God's people recognizing and giving God credit for who He is and what He is doing in their lives. So we see a reason for worship and the church to start to exist. Well, what is it, Brother Kyle? Worship. Worship. Our Creator, listen to me, our Creator deserves and desires us to worship Him. He does. Listen, there's something inside of me, and I hope it's inside of you. It's not far below the surface. Do you know when I find myself just in a rut, not where I need to be spiritually? If I just come in here by myself all alone, and I just start lifting my hands and worshiping God in fullness and in truth, Lord, it's like something breaks through my skin, and I'm able to relate to God, and God is able to relate to me. Listen, there is an innate ability within inside each one of us to worship the one who deserves to be worshiped. I don't understand people, Steve, who say I am truly saved, and they don't have a desire to worship Him. I really don't. I've got to worship Him somehow, some way. Listen, and there's many forms of worship, but to not worship at all, I don't get it. I've witnessed to people, and so have y'all. You know, you don't have to go to church to be saved. No, but you want to. Well, what do you mean you want to? I've got to worship my Jesus. I've got to. And the closer I get to Him, it's not the less that I want to serve Him and worship Him. It's the more I want to worship and serve Him. It's greater and greater and greater. Listen, churches today, even Southern Baptist churches, are having less church instead of more church. And listen, that's not a New Testament model. It's not. How often do they have church in the New Testament? How often? Daily. Brother Kyle, I can't come to church every day. Well, you don't come at night or so in tonight. Why would you want to? Don't worry about every day. The New Age church is come get your groove on Sunday morning, worship for about an hour and a half, and that's wonderful. I love exciting churches. Listen, if you know how to play a musical instrument, well, see, Steve, we'd love to have a set of drums, wouldn't we, Steve? A bass guitar. I'd like to have a horn section. Amen. Brother Kyle, you know, the Bible teaches. No, it doesn't. Hey, the Bible teaches in the book of Psalms all kind of musical instruments. All kinds. If you don't like it, you don't need to belong to a church. You hear me? That's extra. That's not even in the notes. So we see worship taking place. Now, through the Levitical law, sacrifices to God on altars became not only acts of worship, but also became acts of penance to God for the sins of the people. Certain days of the months and the years were designated to the Hebrew children to sacrifice to the Lord. When the Hebrew children took possession of the Holy Land and finally built the temple of God that God ordained priests to perform these sacrificial acts. The people would gather at the temple to worship, to pray, and to sacrifice. Do y'all see it? It's building. The church, you can't see it, but the church is building. Things are taking place. God is orchestrating something that is absolutely beautiful. Now, worship at this time, when they built the temple, something negative started happening. Worship became a task and a methodical, repetitive, and somewhat just useless. Do y'all see the acts of some people who come to church? It's methodical. It's repetitive. Why are you here? Did you see the list here? The people came to praise and worship and to sacrifice. Now, we're not going to have a sacrificial service, okay? There's other ways you sacrifice with your times, talents, and abilities, and your tithes, right? We'll allow all that. Now, we ain't going to slaughter an animal in here. They didn't teach me that in Bible college. Brandon, we ain't doing that, brother. People have made church what the people of this day made the temple. It's just rigorous. It's overbearing. It's hard. It's methodical. Who does that? Does God do that? It's all in the heart, church. It's all of us. It's all in our heart. Now, something amazing happened from this time to the next time. When the Hebrew children failed God and fell into Assyrian and Babylonian captivity, they could no longer journey to the temple to worship, to sacrifice, to praise. During the 400 years of silence between the books of Malachi and Matthew, the people, through the hand of God, created what is known today as the synagogues. Y'all see it? Y'all see it? It's coming. It's coming. They created synagogues. A synagogue could be established by 10 devout Jewish men of God. At this time, culture starts creeping in and overlapping with what's taking place at the synagogue. We see the people have formed worship to false gods, and God's getting ready to clean house. Now, the thing that I want you to see here is we've gone from worshiping God individually to a multitude of places to worship God. Do y'all see it? Brother White, do you see it? He's growing it. You can't see it in the New Testament, but he's doing something. He's doing something absolutely amazing. So what we've just seen is twofold. We've seen the growing of the coming church from individual homes to large groups gathered where the Lord leads, to gathering in one place for certain days, to meeting in many locations. We also see the purpose evolving as to worship, sacrifice, and to pray. Everything is set in place for the church to come into play. All we need is the one key ingredient to make everything come together, and that's the groom. Listen, y'all. I'm getting excited. I got excited, Brother Frank. I told you when God put this on my heart. Y'all need to get excited. He's talking about you here. We're not talking about a building. We're talking about a group of people that are His bride. He's creating His bride. Y'all need to get excited. Amen. Now, please understand me. Right here at this moment where we are in history, you can look hard and you will not see the current church in the Old Testament. The church in the Old Testament is concealed, but praise God, as we open the pages of the New Testament, the church is revealed. Jesus walked on this earth for 30 years, started His earthly ministry, and at some point in time in the 3 short years of ministry, Jesus revealed His plan for His church. Whew. Tanya, all that was my introduction. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Well, I hope y'all packed the lunch this morning. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" You might want to circle or underline "is," because we're getting ready to find out what is. Amen? Who is it that they say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But you, He asked them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are, underline the Messiah, underline the again, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded, Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. You didn't come up with this on your own, Simon. Simon was big on patting himself on the back, you know, raising himself up. God, Jesus is looking at him and saying, look, Simon, you didn't come up with this on your own. You didn't do this on your own, but God, the Father in heaven, told you. And I also say, I'm adding this to it, and I also say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock, what rock? What's he talking about there? In my Bible, I've drawn an arrow back up to it. He's saying, Peter, on this rock, I'm going to do something. What rock? That Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, of the living God. That's what he's talking about. That's the rock there. I will build my, what? There it is. I will build my church. Listen to this. And the forces of hell or Hades or the grave will not overpower it. Now it's getting ready to get good. It's getting ready to get good, church. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this privilege to stand before this congregation, to talk about the thing that you love the most, the church. Be with us for this short period of time. Wake us and shake us. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts, Lord, that we might be receptive to your Spirit as it roams freely through this building, as He roams freely through this building. Lord, we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Church, did you just see what happened? Jesus Himself just divulged the master plan for what we call the church today. Well, Brother Kyle, I didn't see it. You read through it too quick. You didn't. You're gonna have to break it down for me. I'm gonna look. If I had a chalkboard, I'd draw you a picture. because this is beautiful this morning. I hope you saw it. You might want to make reference to the front of in the front of your Bible. The church is conceived, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 18, because that's what just took place here right before our eyes. Well, Brother Kyle, show me what you saw here. The master plan. This is the master plan. The master plan was just revealed to us. Verse 14. Verse 14 tells us that the people always have and always will have a distorted view of who Jesus is and what His purpose was. Look at verse 14. And they said, some say you're John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Listen, the people had acts and purposes, and still had no perception of who Jesus was. They'd seen Jesus do unbelievable things. He'd raised the dead. He'd opened the blind eyes. Listen, the people themselves say, what manner of man is this that he can calm the seas? He can do all of this. They had prophesied, Gary, that said he was coming. And still, they had a misperception of who he was. Well, it's probably John the Baptist. Listen, that'd be an unbelievable thing in and of itself. Jeremiah had been dead for hundreds of years. But they've given that credit instead of Jesus. You know, our world today does the same thing. Are you looking? Are you watching? Are you seeing the words that the media and political organizations are putting in the mouths of Jesus? Well, Jesus would be accepting of our culture today. Listen, the Old Testament's an old document. The New Testament, listen, that's old code there. Listen, if it's in the Word of God, it stands. Do you hear me? Again, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble when I get older. I'm not going to be in trouble for going against the Word of God. You either stand with the total Word of God or you're standing on your own. You either stand with the Word of God or you're standing on sinking sand. You either stand on the Word of God or you're standing on no foundation whatsoever at all. None. You're in trouble. If God's Word said it, you better believe it. And you better stand with God, because if you're not standing with God, you're standing by yourself. Brother Kyle, it's not a popular thing to stand with God. Okay. See how far that takes you. Culture is going this way. You better stay with God. Now, something else happens. Look, the question. There's a question here. Jesus asked a question, and that question demands an answer and will make all the difference to every person who has ever walked this earth. How this question is answered will forever direct our eternal path. Well, what question, Brother Kyle? Look at verse 15. But you, he asked them, who do you say that I am? You know, every person has to answer that question. You have to answer that question. If you want to be a part of the bride of Christ, you can come to this church every time the doors are open. But until you answer that question personally, you're not a part of the bride of Christ. You might be able to join this church and lie to me and say, yeah, I've been baptized, yeah, I'm a Christian. But until you answer that question, you can't spend eternity with Jesus. Who do you say that I am? Well, the answer's right there. We'll get to the answer here in a second. The answer's not hidden, church. It's right here for you to see and to know. This isn't a pop quiz or a trick question. It's a question that must be answered and answered correctly with only one true response. Well, what is the true response? Look at verse 16. Simon Peter said, you are the Messiah. There is no other. There is not one coming. Nobody else's words are greater than yours. Listen, you're the living Messiah, the living God. The test is not seen as hard. The question revealed and the answer is now the Messiah of the church will grade the answer. Look at verse 17. The test has been given. The answer's been revealed. Now the Messiah is going to grade. His response was this: Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but the Father in heaven revealed it to you. Now, verse 18, we see the very foundation of the infant church laid. It's beautiful. Look at that. Look at the foundation. And I also say to you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the forces of Hades will not overpower it. Again, what's he talking about here? The fact that he's the Messiah. He is the one true living God. Church, throughout the four Gospels, we see the church emerging. We see the Gospels, the apostles learning as Jesus teaches them to grow his church. He tells them to go into the world. He gives them the opportunity to preach. Listen, if you watch the apostles, you see persecution taking place. If you see what takes place in the Old Testament with the Hebrew children and the persecution, we think, why in the world is all this taking place? It's taking place to move God's presence, to spread his gospel. As persecution starts taking place in the New Testament, it's because a lot of times the apostles are settled. Well, you know, I'm comfortable here. I like where I am here. God says, I need you to move because I need the gospel to spread over here. Well, I'm not ready to move. I don't want to move. Okay, I'll move you. So persecution ensues. And you know what those jacklegs do every time persecution takes place? They do what God tells them to do. They run. They don't walk. Well, you know, God told me to do this. You know, no, they grab what possessions they can, and they run to where God wants them to be. And then God starts using them, and they start praising God. And God says, look, this is where I wanted you to be all the time. Church, persecution is not a bad thing. Do you hear me? But we see persecution starting to ensue and moving people where God wants them to be moved. As we open the book of Acts, we see the arrival of the Holy Spirit, which sets the apostles apart to do the work, to finish the work that Christ started, with boldness and resolve to die before turning their backs on the gospel or their Messiah. Listen, there's no more running. When we open the book of Acts, there's no more running, no more hiding. When Jesus was crucified, they all ran. Scripture said when the shepherd is crucified, the sheep will scatter. And that's exactly what they did. The book of Acts, the Holy Spirit's come. They're holding their head up high. They're saying, I'll die before I deny Jesus. And where Peter was not set and as resolved in the Gospels, he was now set and he would die for the gospel of Jesus Christ on a cross, upside down. Church, do you see it? Are you getting excited? I mean, it's gone from nothing to God's building the church right before our very eyes. I don't even know where I am here. Okay, here we go. As we look at the epistles of Paul and the others, we see that house churches have emerged. They've emerged. It didn't stop there, though. Do you hear me? The house churches have emerged. Believers are gathering in synagogues, and some structures are now being used to have services. Do y'all remember when Peter was preaching all night one night, and this guy fell down and he died? Where was he preaching? Do y'all remember? In a barn. Y'all remember? They're starting to use structures now. Listen, as we look at the book of Revelation, and we're going to be there tonight. Goodness gracious. We're starting the book of Revelation tonight. Be here. Everybody's invited. As we look at as we open the book of Revelation, chapter 2, we see that a letter from John is written to 12 distinct church groups in seven different locations. Y'all see it? Y'all see what God's doing? Do you see what he's done? Today, as we sit in this church, in a church that has evolved from Matthew 16:16, can we see the finished product of the church as a scriptural representation of the church? No, we can't. We really can't. The church is still evolving and still evolving to this day, and it will continue to evolve until Jesus returns. It's his bride. Well, brother, I can see now where the church came from. What can we say about the church today? what can we say about today's church? Number one, church is not perfect. God's perfect. Christ is perfect. Church isn't perfect. You know why? Because we're here. We're here. Where we are to stand on the Word of God, listen to me. There's not a person in this world who shouldn't be welcome here. And listen to me. I've told you in times past, if I've got a short fuse for anything, it's somebody who tries to exclude somebody from doing something. Do you hear me? I've told the deacons, if I hear one more time that somebody walks up to somebody and says, look, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be here. You weren't invited to this. It's not going to be pleasant. Well, why? What are you saying, Brother Kyle? This church was created. This building was created for all to come. You're not perfect. You won't reach sinless perfection until you take your last breath and breathe that heavenly air inside your lungs. Then you'll achieve what you think you are today. How dare you say that somebody can't do something just because you think they're not good enough? Listen, Jesus makes them good enough. Church isn't perfect because we're here. What else can we say about the church? Number two, the church is declining. That's what the world is saying, and it's the truth. The church is declining. Listen, what we've got going on here at this church, we ought to have busting out the seams. We ought to be packed out. We ought to have two services. Really ought to. Scripture says in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear something new. And that something new is something false. Well, what else can we say about the church today? Many churches are closing their doors. People are not faithful to God, and many who come to church come faithfully, but they do not tithe faithfully. And listen, I don't know if y'all realize this. Listen, economics 101. The dollar is not gaining strength, it's losing strength. Okay? So with what you used to be able to do with a dollar, and I don't even see a dollar, oh, yeah, here. What you used to be able to do with this right here, a dollar, is diminishing. It really is. So as the years go on, the church needs to be bringing more money to use for the Lord and not less money. Y'all understand? We ought to be giving more to God yearly. Try to. Why? To do His work. Listen, we're in the last days. These are the last days. We need to get busy. We need to be about His work. It blows my mind how listen, the church is declining because people aren't faithfully given to the Lord. Times, talents, tithes. Listen, we need to get on board, amen? What else can we say about the church? The church of the day in many eyes does not look good at all. But can I give you some good news? Culture does, they look at the church and they just shake their head. It's not what I want to be about. It's not what I want to be a part of. Y'all ready for some good news? Mary Beth, you want to hear some good news? Something that will get you excited? Look at verse 18. B. Jesus says this. I will build my church. We're here. The church is here. That's not the good news. The good news is this. And the forces of Hades will not overpower it. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? He's given us the inclination, the indication, all indication that the forces of hell are going to do everything they can to overpower it. Do y'all see that in our culture today? But Jesus says, it's not going to happen. Well, what's the good news, Brother Kyle? This world has and is doing everything it can to do to destroy the bride of Christ, to discredit the church. Listen, this church, but Jesus said, until my return, the church will remain. Why? Because it's his bride. It's what he used to every miracle that Jesus ever did. Think of every miracle Jesus ever did. There have been more people won with the gospel of Jesus Christ through the Word of God and through his bride than anything Jesus ever did. Do you remember when Jesus died? He said, listen, you ain't seen nothing yet, man. Listen, you think you're impressed with what I've done? Listen, wait till you see what takes place after I leave. What is he talking about? He created this invisible structure that's not seen in the Old Testament to keep doing what he did the whole time he was alive, spreading the gospel message. Listen, the world's tried to kill it. People are trying to discredit it. There's coming a point in time, listen, where I'm going to have to preach it behind the behind bars. Because listen to me, your preacher is not going to do anything that's contrary to the Word of God. I'm not going to marry a man to a man and a woman to a woman. We need to love them. We need to love them to Jesus every single day. But I'm not going against the Word of God. Brother Kyle, listen, all you evangelicals, y'all stretch the truth. Listen, if y'all watch the news, did y'all watch the local news any this week? There's a new commercial out. Y'all seen it? Goes something like this. Political commercial. Well, Georgians are tired of same-sex marriage not being passed. We want them to have the same rights, and we want them to do this and do that, and you need to take a stand. And it gives governmentgeorgia.org. Take a stand. I'm going to tell you the same thing they told you. You better take a stand. Brother Kyle, listen, you're not going to go to jail. Yeah, listen, the time's coming. We can prolong it if you'll take a stand. You better take a stand. Well, you're being hateful. No, I'm not. I am not being hateful. I want to love everybody. I want to accept everybody. But I'm not going against the Word of God to do it. Church, this world has and is doing everything it can to destroy the bride of Christ, but the Christ church remains today. It's not going anywhere. Can you prove that? Yeah, verse 18. He says the forces of Hades will not overcome or overpower it. Let me ask you a couple questions. Why are you here? Why are you here? Why have you come to church? Have you taken the foundation test that we talked about here this morning? Right now, before you walk out those doors, take the test that will determine your eternity. Who do you say Jesus is? That answer will determine who you are and where you'll be. What do your actions say about who Jesus is? Can people look at you and see that Jesus is the Messiah, the true and living God? Church, if we do not right now in one accord acknowledge that Jesus, who Jesus is, and Jesus alone is our foundation, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of church, of when this church falls. Is Jesus your foundation? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you that you created this church, that we might come together and feel your love through other believers, God. We can feel who you are, and Lord, you tell us in your word what you want us to do. God, open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Help us to be receptive right now during this time of invitation, to feel you, to know you, God. Lord, prepare our hearts. Help us to be what you created us to be. Right now, Lord, during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I do pray. Listen, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come down and just spend some time with the Lord?